It is quite common, however, perhaps not in the Christian perspective. Mm. However, generally, if you look at regions such as the Sahel, such as the Horn of Africa, and such as even in southern parts of Africa, where there are jihadist groups, I mean, that is how we essentially feel or have a sense of extremist groups. In this sense, now, it just so happens to be a Christian group in Kenya. And yes, so it forms part of the analysis or assessment on religious extremism within the African continent. Well, it's hard to say if they've recovered. I mean, there are social, psychosocial scars that remain with the people. And it's not only just those places. There's also, as you mentioned, the Shakahola Forest massacre in 2023, as well as most recently the Binzaro village, which in itself might have other bodies that aren't identified at present, but may come about as time and space allows.
Mm. So, where we are now, literally hitting now 3 years after this massacre. So, we then probably need to unpack how commonplace this is found in Kenya. I know you spoke about it now very briefly, two questions before this, but perhaps we should look at how commonplace these cult practices and cult followings are in Kenya. And perhaps some of the other neighboring countries around Kenya, were these cults originally linked to traditional religions? What eventually happened? Were these entities that maybe digressed from an original following and perhaps just became a bit too extreme? Can we unpack that?
How I see or view this is, while through the lens of identifying that there's literally a gap between governance and citizens actually feeling that there is an actual layer of governance. So I look at this through a political governance perspective, primarily. Secondly, the lack of institutional development, and by that I mean the lack of peer-reviewed mechanisms, so religious bodies not being able to self-review.
Someone weighs in on the WhatsApp line here, 1765, saying a lot of evidence and information coming out now indicating that so many of these so-called jihadist groups were either created or manufactured by the CIA, Israeli Mossad, etc. That obviously, Luchula Menka, opens up a completely different conversation as well.
Yes, indeed. I mean, religious extremism is nothing new. I mean, Kenya is just one of the latest countries that has experienced it, and is experienced it, you know, through Christianity at present. I mean, even South Africa, for example, is not immune to it, because, as you know, that in Mozambique, I'm just speaking on the southern African tip, in Mozambique, there are groups there, and those groups themselves are argued to be funded by cells within South Africa as well.
Mm. So this incident and this massacre was classified as one of the world's worst cult-related tragedies. People in that region now, perhaps it's very difficult for us to ascertain. We are not there. We're not in that region. But it would be very interesting to know as to what feelings and sentiments would be like of those living in that coastal inland, sorry, in that inland region in Kenya now, 3 years later. And are these lessons that the country can learn from after this massacre? And perhaps the same could maybe apply to other neighboring countries around Kenya as well.
Indeed, no, there are lessons to be learned. For example, the Constitution of Kenya was, the latest constitution was adopted in 2010, which speaks on to the separation of religion and state. So therefore, there is no mechanism that regulates such practices. I mean, generally, the separation of state and religion is looked at as sacrosanct to democracy, right? For example, even in South Africa, we've got the Commission on the Promotion of and Protection of Rights and Cultural Religion, and named the organization now which looks up or advises on the particular religion in South Africa is a CRL, which looks at four things essentially: advising, educating, investigating, as well as recommending on mechanisms to peer review religious acts within any country, for example.
Someone on the WhatsApp line is asking the question, the separation of state from religion, could that not at times exacerbate some of the spreading of the cult followings? Should the two not be working together instead? State and religion.
That's an interesting question. And it's more of a philosophical question. Because, I mean, states themselves define, and the people who live within the states define how it is that they see or ought to be governed. For example, there are countries which don't separate church or religion as well as governance. So either or.
Indeed, either or. Now, with the African continent having a long-standing tradition and history of traditional religious practices. So, are the occasions where perhaps the lines got blurred somehow between what was a traditional religious practice that was passed down from ancestors across Africa, and others perhaps became a bit too radical, and hence the introduction of and to these cult followings. So then, should we look at stronger legislation that should be imposed by government? Where should we then go from here?
Indeed, there has been a blurring of the lines between Western religions as well as African customary practices. That's a certainty, and that can't be debated or argued. I mean, it's literally a fact. However, I do think primarily the issues here are twofold. It's political governance. What I mean by political governance is that there is a lack, in certain countries, there is a lack of the reach of government within rural areas or centers that are outside of the CBD. That's primarily the issue. Secondly, it's the lack of institutional development, support and governance. What do I mean by this? I mean that there is a lack of peer review mechanisms within those religious organizations. It's primarily two things. And then what that therefore tries to close is a gap in governance. So if these two things exist, it means that therefore there's a gap in governance causing a constitutional dilemma. And as you mentioned, the blurring of the lines between religions and African traditional practices.
So should the mindset then be traditional culture should essentially be unifying people and not causing extreme harm in the case of this massacre going back to 2023?
Indeed. I mean, any sense of belonging needs to be unifying, ought to be unifying, and has to be the panacea of building a culture and building a society. Now, if you're going to have any particular religious group or any particular governance structure that opposes or is an antithesis to good governance and unity, therefore, it brings about such things as what Pastor McKenzie has wanted to do with the starvation cult in Kenya, with killing of plus 100 people, and including the 52 latest deaths which have been recorded, and still many more to come.
Now, in conclusion, Luchulu Manco, let's just go back again to so-called radical factions. On several platforms and on several occasions, many U.S. officials themselves admitted that it was a strategy and still is a strategy being employed by the CIA to introduce these radical factions. And we note that there are plenty of these so-called radical factions that are continuing to sprout up across Africa and even in West Asia. Essentially, as a result of the CIA giving birth to these radical factions. But in terms of our African continent, why is this the case? What is the game plan? Is it to continue to divide and rule our people? What is actually the agenda then?
Essentially, like all empires want to rule. I mean, with use of whatever means necessary. So therefore, in short, the short answer to that would be to destabilize, would be the answer to your question.
All right, Luchulu Manco, Mawisa, African Continent Analyst. Let's leave it there. Thanks for joining us this Tech Tuesday on PM Drive.